Welcome to Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland, bringing you practical truths from the Word of God that will assist you in living victoriously in every arena of your life. This program is brought to you by Hidden with Christ Ministries of Tustin, California. Now, here's Rita with Keys to Victorious Christian Living.
Hello, friends. This week we are studying the issue of obedience and the importance of obedience in the life of the believer. We know from the scriptures that God has promised us great and precious promises to the one who will have an obedient heart towards the Lord. And yet we also see illustrated so clearly throughout the Old and New Testament how powerfully disobedience destroys a life and how it will rob a person, even a person who loves God and knows God and knows God's word, how it will rob a person of the promises and the blessings of God for their very life. Today I want to talk about how anger will cause many people to disobey God's word and even be unaware of how they have justified the disobedience and how the root of it has to do with anger. Yesterday, we studied how the Israelites, because of fear of the giants in the promised land, disobeyed God's word to go in and possess the land. And as a result, they forfeited the promised blessing of that promised land. They completely turned their backs on it, and they lost the goodness that God had promised and had reserved for them in the land of Canaan. Another striking example of how disobedience robs a person's life and even their future is illustrated for us in the life of Moses. Moses, as you know, was the great leader of Israel, whom God had raised up to take his people Israel out of the bondage of Egypt and bring them out through the wilderness and then take them in to this land flowing with milk and honey. And yet Moses also ended up forfeiting the promised land because of disobedience. The situation was this way. In the book of Numbers, we find the story where Moses had been dutifully leading the people through the wilderness. It had been an excruciating process. The people had grumbled and they had complained and they had rebelled against Moses. They had spoken evil against him. They had accused him. They had given him a very hard time. And he was at the point where he was quite frustrated with the people. And in the book of Numbers, chapter 20, we find this critical moment. And it says, "The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Take the rod, and you and your brother Aaron assemble the congregation and speak to the rock before their eyes, that it may yield its water. You shall thus bring forth water for them out of the rock, and let the congregation and their beasts drink.' So Moses took the rod from before the Lord, just as he had commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly before the rock. And he said to them, 'Listen now, you rebels, shall we bring forth water for you out of this rock?' Then Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod, and the water came forth abundantly, and the congregation and their beasts drank. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, 'Because you have not believed me to treat me as holy in the sight of the sons of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them.'" Now, this situation was quite shocking, I'm sure, to Moses, because he had been obedient to the Lord step by step, going into Pharaoh, speaking to him over and over again, enduring the wrath of Pharaoh and all of his servants. And yet, in his obedience, he saw God do amazing, miraculous things. He saw the sea open. He saw the Egyptian army and all their horses drowned. He saw miraculous deliverance upon miraculous deliverance. And so it is in many Christians' lives. They have obeyed God. They've walked with God. They've seen God do amazing things. And yet there comes a point when we have to recognize that past obedience is not a guarantee of future blessings if we step outside that pattern and that consecration of obeying God on a day-to-day basis. Moses was at a very low point here in Numbers chapter 20, where we see him in his frustration of the people's complaining and murmuring about not having any water, how he reacted in anger towards the people, and his anger also blinded him to the fact that he was not obeying the voice of God exactly. The Lord had told him to speak to the rock and that it would bring forth water. In the past, the Lord had had him strike the rock with his rod and it had brought forth water. In a moment of anger and frustration, Moses was not careful to obey God exactly. And instead of speaking to the rock in front of the people, and the Lord told him that he did not treat God as holy in front of the people. And for a leader, this was a very high responsibility, that before the eyes of all the people, that leader is responsible to demonstrate obedience to the Lord and respect for the exact word of God. And yet Moses erred here in a moment of anger, and he was not careful or diligent to do exactly what the Lord had instructed him. Instead of speaking to the rock, Moses struck the rock twice. And the result of that disobedience was the complete loss of the promised land in his lifetime. The Lord was going to require now that Moses could only see the land that the Israelites were eventually going to go into, but he was not going to allow Moses to enter it. And we see this described in Deuteronomy chapter 32, where it says, "The Lord spoke to Moses that very same day, saying, 'Go up to this mountain of Abarim, Mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab, opposite Jericho, and look at the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the sons of Israel for a possession. Then die on the mountain where you ascend, and be gathered to your people as Aaron your brother died on Mount Hor and was gathered to his people.' And the Lord went on to say, 'Because you trespassed against me among the people of Israel at the waters of Meribah Kadesh in the wilderness of Zin, because you did not hallow me in the midst of the children of Israel, you shall see the land, but you shall not go there.'" You know, the Lord wants you to go into the land of his promise in your life. He wants you to have victory. He wants you to go from glory to glory. But many Christians see the land, but they never go there. And the reason for it is they are robbed because of disobedience in their own life. And many people are very blind to the areas of disobedience because they know the Lord, love the Lord, know his word, go to church, and yet they wonder why they do not have the type of victory or walk in the blessings that God has promised. Let me give you a couple of examples where I believe people have allowed anger to blind them, and also it has caused them to disobey God, that anger's at the root of their disobedience, and perhaps they don't even recognize what they're doing as disobedience to the Lord. These are common deceptions that I've observed in the body of Christ, and the reality is, if you all do this, if you disobey God, and you are a believer, understand, like Moses, you end up being robbed of the blessings God intends for you and desires to give you. But he has a requirement for obedience to his word, and he doesn't require you to do it in your own strength. He has given us the promise of his grace to help us in time of need, to give us the strength to do the very thing that our own flesh could not do, and yet by his grace we can obey him. Here's a few common deceptions that will allow people to justify their disobedience to the word of God. like Moses being angry at the people, understand that without a doubt, he thought he was very justified in his anger. He thought he and God had the same anger. Understand, human anger and carnal anger and attitudes are not the same as the righteous anger of God, and yet many people think that's what they have, but it's not the truth. Many people will say, well, I have the right to be angry with the behavior of this person, and therefore this excuses me from the requirement of obedience to God's word. For example, Ephesians 5:33 tells us that a wife should see to it that she respect her husband. Now, there are many wives who are very angry or upset with their husband's behavior, and they see it that they have a right to be angry and that they have a right to not respect their husbands because of the behavior that they have demonstrated or the actions they've taken towards the wife or towards the family. And they use the husband's behavior as an excuse for not obeying God's word that says that the wife needs to see that she respects her husband. Understand, when God gives you a commandment to respect someone, whether it's respecting and honoring parents as we are instructed in Ephesians chapter 6, or whether it is a wife respecting her husband, that respect or honor that you are commanded by God to show has nothing to do with the other person's deserving that honor or respect. God did not say respect your husband if they deserve it or if they earn it. God did not say honor your parents if they were godly. He simply said honor your parents so that your life may go well for you and you may live long in the earth. We are to obey God because He has required it of us. He'll give you the grace to do it, and then you get the blessing. It's to keep your heart and your conscience clear. It will guarantee a blessing to your life because it'll keep you free from anger, bitterness, and resentment and keep you in a place where you're in the will of God. That's all the time that we have for today. This is Rita Langland encouraging you. God bless you. Have a victorious week.
Thanks for joining us today for Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland. If you would like to support this ministry, please write to us at Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 3267, Tustin, California, 92781. That's P.O. Box 3267, Tustin, California, 92781. Visit our website at www.hiddenwithchrist.com, where you may order tapes or submit a prayer request. Or call us at toll-free 1-866-HE-HEALS. Again, thanks for joining us for Keys to Victorious Christian Living.